Welcome back. Today we are featuring one of our top stylists and mentors at our salons, Mia Gomez.
Thank you. Welcome to
the table.
Thank you for having me.
For this one. It's going to be a good one.
Definitely going to be a good one.
Yeah. It is. So, Mia, tell everybody just kind of where you've been, how you got here, and we'll get started there.
Well, I've been doing hair for 20 years. I worked at a salon for about 14 and then jumped ship with you guys. Thank God.
Yep.
And yeah. Been working at Privé.
All right.
Working the ladder.
All right. Well, I think the big thing that with you is you worked at that salon. You came over with us after some convincing, but got it. So Mia came over and then basically talk to us about your experience when you shifted over, some of like the headaches or concerns that you had in the beginning, and then how you got to where you are today as probably one of our top mentors in the company.
Privé is a lot more structured. So I came from a salon where just went in and did hair, mm-hmm. you know? So when I came into Privé, it was like, here's your key indicators. You have to hit so many different things. And I felt very overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would probably be the main thing. I was like, God, how am I going to hit these?
Yeah. Okay.
I think it was like that for everyone, you know?
Like, oh, yeah.
No salon is really that structured and like to be put under a microscope, but like have all of these like different things that you have to focus on. Like, it's almost like, all right, like, do I focus on one? Do I focus on all of them? Or like, do I just like not care because I'm scared, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like, and I don't know if you guys feel this way also, but I'm hesitant to even bring up the numbers with new hires or interviews because I think they can seem so overwhelming.
I'm not.
No?
No.
Okay.
I'm setting the bar. Like, this is how we are. If you don't like it, we're not the fit for you.
I know, but think about someone like Mia who, like, she embraced it, but it could have potentially, like, veered her away knowing, like, okay, this is completely different than what I'm used to. I don't think I'm going to be able to do this.
Well, talk about, like, how it went for you for, like, the first... Were you like, oh shit?
I was like, what the heck? Like, very scatterbrained, you know? But I embraced it and just broke it down. And I was like, okay, I have to do this, this, and this. I'll get there. It just made me more consistent within my day, too.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Can we just quickly recognize the internal battle we all have with ourselves? And I'm using you as the example because you sit here and say you're so scatterbrained. And I'm like, you're one of the most put together people I've ever seen. So,
yeah. Well, talk to us. Like, I feel like everybody has like a pivotal moment in their life where they're like, you know what? This, like, I'm gonna do this. Like, was there something like that for you where you like flipped a switch and you're like, you know what? Like, I'm gonna do this. Like, I can do it.
Yeah.
Or I have to do it.
Yeah, like, I have to do it. Like, this is what they're asking me. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I just became really focused. I'm like, okay, if I hit this number, I'll jump. And I feel like I did jump a couple times pretty quickly. I'm like, okay, I can do this. Let's keep going.
You had momentum.
Yeah.
So once it clicked for you and you started to really understand the why behind the way we were doing mm-hmm. things, and it wasn't like, oh, this is just what you have to do to discipline anybody or to you know, these are just the tried and true practices that we've had going for the years and we've known the success behind them. So I think for you, when you initially embraced that concept mm-hmm. and you didn't feel like it was going to negatively impact you in any way, you really took off. Like momentum took over. You were one of the two stylists who have ever done this in my experience, but the momentum took over. And you had a double level jump in one 6 month period. Like that's how insane it was. And we sat down and I'm like looking at your numbers and I'm like, Mia, like you're hitting, I mean, this is a double level jump. This isn't even just one. Like you were just so focused and paying such close attention to your business that it really like skyrocketed.
Yeah. I feel like all the key indicators keep you focused and keep me on a routine.
Yeah.
Like my whole day is routine with every client. So yeah.
Would you say the driving force was like the promotion? Like what are you motivated by?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And not just the promotion was I became more busier, you know,
like that all started to like, it wasn't everything's, negatively impacting
no,
you.
Everything
like,
started
trying.
Falling together.
Cool. Love that.
Yeah.
How was your transition when you left the other salon and came to us? Like, were you like in a lull or did you just like pick up where you left off?
Well, I don't like change. So, yeah. Like, coming in, different color line, I was scared about that. Didn't really know if the employees were going to embrace me coming in because you really didn't hire stylists.
Yeah.
You had to work your way up. But, yeah, once I came in, everyone was, like, so welcoming. And
yep.
And then how long after did you get your first promo?
I think, was it 6 months?
It was close.
Wow,
It was definitely within a year, for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And she was, like, slightly hesitant to, you know, like, retail wasn't, like, a big thing that she was focused on. And so, like, that's a massive piece of the puzzle. And you were a little bit hesitant about some things in the beginning. But then, you know, once you embraced it and once you figured out your groove and the things that were working for you and your guest, and also, like, you're just the most authentic person that like, you just have a natural draw to humans in general. But I think once you embraced that, you're already pre-booking. They're obsessed with you. They're coming back. So, like, the key indicators for us are what they are, but the retail was probably the most difficult one. Yeah.
I remember talking to Lindsay and I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't sell. And she was like, girl, you are so authentic. Like, you don't even sound salesy. Mm-hmm. Like, take it as you're helping your guests. Mm-hmm. They don't know.
100%.
I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. Like, they don't know. So I turned it into teaching and then in a sense, just selling.
Yeah. She's the perfect example of, like, when team members come to us and, like, oh, what are we going to sell retail? It's like, well, if you do, like, it, everything kind of benefits you after that. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like, the trust factor alone to, like, be able to get somebody to book their appointment before they leave and take a recommendation that, like, you're giving them and helping them solve a problem. Like, the rest is history.
And we also, like, you know, I think back before I knew anything about, like, mentoring and coaching, and all I knew was, like, these are the numbers we need to reach. But over the years, I've figured it out, and it's when you can shift from I need to sell retail to I need to educate my guests.
Absolutely.
And take all the pressure out, it completely changes everything.
Absolutely. They're investing so much money in their hair. That's the least thing I can do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that goes, like, to the fact of, like, you know, when you do have somebody in your chair and they spend $400 on a complete transformation and then they walk out the door and they wake up the next day and their hair is extremely dry. And the stylist didn't even mention, like, hey, giving you a heads up. It's probably going to be a little dry. We did a lot of bleach. You should use a mask, like, whatever. So I think that definitely comes into play. But let's pivot this. I want to talk to you about your advancement in the company where you shifted from this amazing stylist who was, you know, performing so well, growing, you had this drive of momentum that was happening. And then I was like, I see a star here and I need you to help me.
No, you didn't say it like that. You probably said, listen, I got to run by something. Can I ask you a question?
Me is keeping it real
and
right
then
now.
I was like, I'm not going to be able to say no. This is what she does.
Oh my God. All right.
But
Mom
I believe
said,
her.
I see a star right now.
I believe her.
Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You created this, like, mentor thing that we have going on. She was like, no, I need you to be a mentor. And you're not going to say no. You're going to try it out.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I got to be honest. I had to do that for the podcast. I text her. I'm like, hey, any chance that you'll come on the podcast? Crickets. And she's like, no, I don't like public speaking. It's like my biggest fear. Next, that to me was like, okay, I need a phone call. I'm not even going to respond via text. Now I'm calling.
So you responded.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What did I say?
Fuck you.
Nuh-uh.
I think I did.
You did.
I was like, F you. You're going to be
geez.
Fine.
Come on. She's serious. Aggressive.
Yeah. So then I called her and I just said, listen, I'm like, you got to do this. And her response was great. And it made me feel good. She said, you always push me outside the box and I never regret it. And I was like, all right, cool. Because I feel like you do that for your mentees.
Yeah. So, you're never going to grow comfortable.
That's true.
And you push me and I'm like, okay, I believe what she says and I'm going to run by it.
I love it. That's so good. So you started mentoring with the company and I got to be honest, from my perspective, it was very quick that I noticed, like, how it was a very different experience for you as a mentor. You took it so seriously and your mentees were level jumping. Like, it was like there was something there that, like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, she's got it figured out. And even, like, you could teach me things with this. To the point now where, like, for 2025, I'm really kind of pulling out on a lot of the mentoring. And, like, we spoke about yesterday. Yeah. But it's people like you who really give us that opportunity to be able to scale back and let you guys get involved in this. And I think there's a lot of benefits, one being the relatability portion.
Absolutely.
Like, you just have a direct relation to these girls.
Yeah.
But talk to us about
it. It's the connection that I have with them, you know. I really do look at them as my younger self. I am an observer, like I've said before on the floor. Yeah. Like, I notice everything, and I'll see something. I'm like, if she just said it like this, or if she just did it like that, like,
she would do it better.
Like, yeah, just, like,
yeah,
she would do it better.
She would mean more of an impact.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, oh, she just lost that sale, or So, just listening to these girls, making it a connection. I want to see them do good.
Yeah.
And when they grow, I grow. You know, I learn so much from them. Talking with them, their problems in their life, at the salon, and just giving them advice. I feel like I've probably been in most scenarios that they come to me with problems within the salon and how I, you know, overcame them. So, yeah.
So, say I'm like your new mentee.
Oh, God.
What like questions do you like ask them? Like, so this is like someone, I mean, obviously you know the person because you work with them, but like this is the first time you're having like a one-on-one. What type of questions do you ask typically?
First thing I say is how are you doing, you know? Trying to build a connection. How was your month? Do you have any issues within the salon? Anything you feel that you really need to work on? Basically just deeper connections, I feel like, start out, and then they most likely open up to me. So
you're initially not starting with numbers.
No.
You're just trying to build rapport and connection, like you said.
Yeah. I want to know, that's like, key. What's going on in their life. Like, what are their goals? Do they want a new car? Do they want, you know, one girl wants a nose job.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, all right, let's go, you know? You got to put a driving force behind it.
That's well, amazing. It's interesting, man, because I feel like you are so relatable and people connect to you and are drawn to you, not just because of how good you smell. Do you guys smell her right now?
No, I don't. I'm
jealous. My God. This perfume.
You
can smell Mia come down the hallway in work. Like,
what is the Baccarat Rouge dupe?
Oh, I like it.
But like anyway, people are drawn to you. And I've actually... I was lucky enough that me and you, for a short amount of time, but we were sharing our groups of mentors or mentees. Sorry. and one of the things that I found very interesting when I did get to sit in on a few with you in the beginning, and a couple things that I picked up on are, I don't know how well, like, you just understand the number so well, like more than I do, like to the point where I had questions for you and you were explaining it to me. And, I just think that that has to push so hard for these girls because they can ask you anything and you always have an answer. Like, you just understand the whole program. Like Monica said, you have it so figured out, and not just with like connecting with them, but like, I feel like just knowing the numbers inside out, and what drives and how to get them where they need to be. You just have a really good, it's like a talent of yours.
Oh, thank you.
So I want to give credit where credit's
due.
Thank
you.
For sure.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming, but,
speaking of that, what would you say are some of the most like difficult things about mentoring? And we know that there are some challenges to come with it, but
getting the numbers, you know, sometimes I'm like, the rent is due. It is the first of the month. Come on.
I love her.
Sometimes they have off months and I'm like, I'm a very consistent person, so I have a hard time when they aren't consistent, and I'm like, what's going on, you know?
It definitely gets you. Like, I typically sit down with all of the mentors monthly just for check-ins, and you brief me on what's going on with all of your people, and when you have somebody that isn't in it, you know, maybe they have something going on in their personal life, or maybe they're just feeling extremely discouraged and not interested in doing it. But you, I feel like it impacts you.
It does.
Like, you're like, I don't know what else I can do. You know, I'm really trying, but she's not interested. And it, like, definitely, like, hurts, I feel. And that's like that alone, like the connection you have with these people where you almost want it for them more than they want it for themselves.
Like, and when they achieve their goals, it's almost as if I got a promotion, mm-hmm. you know? I remember the first time I called you, the first person that got a promotion, I was like crying.
You were?
I was like at the shore carrying my laptop around, and I'm like, I gotta be ready at 5:00. She's gonna send me her number.
Yeah.
I was like so excited.
I love seeing you because you genuinely, like, there is something inside of you that lights up when your people win. And it's so amazing to see. And I feel that, you know, like as an owner, like my success is showed by your success. Like that's just how we are. That's how we roll as leaders here. That's how it goes. But to see other leaders within the company have that same drive and feeling just like literally lights me up. And it's true. Like I can remember that call. And I'm like, Mia's at the shore right now, literally counting down the hours until this person's done their shift so mm-hmm. that they can send her number so she can plug them in. And it's just like, you know, it's not usual. Like most people aren't quite as committed as you are.
I love it. I think I get texts at 10:00 at night. I'm like whipping it down. I'm like, I gotta see where she's at. Like, did she listen to me? Did she take my advice? And just them taking, like, making a little bit of changes and then seeing them grow, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so exciting.
Have you ever had somebody that was really struggling and took a long time to get from point A to point B? In that scenario, was there anything specific that you did or you learned or like value that you could bring from that coaching?
Yeah, like looking at the numbers, if they're so far off, it can be very discouraging. They feel lost. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, instead of, you know, you have to be at 0.5, let's get you to 0.3 this month. Let's not concentrate on where you need to be, but let's get you there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that breaking it down, the numbers,
like they're piecemealing it.
Yes, yeah. Piecemealing their numbers.
Yeah.
So it doesn't become overwhelming to them.
That's great.
So they can still stay on track.
And to be, just to mention that any company, any business, salon industry or not, you know, when you do have individuals within your four walls that are looking to grow and progress, I think it's really important to provide them some sort of goal, right? Like mm-hmm. that's how you're going to get from point A to point B. Because I've been in salons where I didn't have that. And it felt like I was out in limbo. Like I just didn't have a path to get from this level to that level or an opportunity to earn more money. So I think implementing that in whatever way, and you know, every key indicator in whether it's the salon industry or not, there's ways to measure your business and you could be able to provide that to whatever team you have. But then having mentors that have a really strong understanding of it and are able to coach to it, I think is powerful.
Yeah.
Mia definitely loves doing it too. You can tell, like, there's definitely some mentors that I noticed that like, they do it because they like, you're just, they want the extra bonus pay in their checks or, you know, and I'm not saying all of them, but I've noticed it.
Right.
But for you, I feel like you have such a passion for it. Like, it's not even like a once a month thing for you. Like you, like you said, you're constantly checking in. I see it in work when like I'll be in the office and I'll hear you out in the hallway just for like 30 seconds walking out to a client. You'll stop mm-hmm. and talk to someone and offer them a piece of advice or go over something real quick with them. In the break room, you do the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you could tell that you definitely enjoy doing what you're doing.
I do. And like I said, me coaching them makes me more accountable too, right. You know? Yeah. So I'm like, these girls are looking up to me. I got to be on point. They're listening to my conversations. They're seeing how I run my business. Yeah. I can't let them down. Mm-hmm. So
no, well, you have a lot to offer these girls.
Thank you.
And anyone that gets under your belt a mentorship is so lucky.
Thank you.
So do you do anything to like help with like self-development or like read books, podcasts, like to help with coaching, or do you just feel like because you're so in it and like you said, like observant, that you're able to like coach them whenever, like right there on the spot?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Education wise, a lot of Instagram.
Okay.
Honestly, like reels, videos, cutting. My algorithm is mentoring. You know,
is it?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So good.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that. The positives of social media these days.
Totally.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What do you think is one of the biggest challenges that the girls that you're mentoring face? Like at that level, what's like?
Yeah, it's.
Well, what level are you?
Four. I was 3 and 4, and then there was just too many.
Okay. So to reference, that's like what, 3 or 4 years behind the chair.
Yeah.
Four to five, or 3 to 5.
Yeah, yeah.
So three to 5 years behind the chair.
So once they hit level 4, they're making pretty good money. They don't have to work weekends. Mm-hmm. So. Really, what else are they
they're just chilling.
Jumping for? Yeah. Like,
so that I would like to mention is the power behind, you know, there's obviously the biggest why behind someone being motivated is whatever their financial or personal goals are, like a nose job or a car. Like that's one motivator. But then within our company, there's specific levels where really amazing things happen, like at a level 3, they can start utilizing an apprentice. Level 4, they get Saturdays off. Level 5.5 or 6, they get a personal apprentice. So those 3 benchmarks are like really good, easy motivators that typically give people the opportunity to drive that bus like fast. Like, I want to get there. Then there's other levels like level 4. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult level because you just said that it's, you know, they already got the Saturdays off. They're not quite ready to get to that next personal apprentice thing. Right. So it's like a limbo area where it is difficult. And I know all of us have found that. And to any owners out there watching or companies that maybe are relating to this, they're certainly in a career path of an individual. There's certainly times where it's a little more difficult to be motivated. And I just think it's important to know that. And within your own business to know where that lies is powerful because we know it. You know, we know level 4 is a tough one.
So hard.
And it's across all 3 companies. Like we've been down this road a million times. Level 4 is hard.
Yeah. How do you break through to them?
Personal goals, really. Personal goals. I'm like, you got to keep growing. Don't you want, you know, have this pay your car payment. You know, I try to think what really motivates them? What's going on in their life? Do you want to take that vacation?
Yeah.
Let's hit this number and that vacation will be paid for. Basically just being more on a deeper level of like goals, what they want in life outside of the salon.
Right.
Yep.
So out of all the levels that we have within our company, who do you guys think is the most challenging level? Is it level 4?
It's 4.
Mm-hmm. 4.
Hands down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was so, I don't know if this was strategic or not, but the fact that we have Mia coach on our level 4s is amazing because she is just such a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. She's so hype and I feel like that's what level 4 needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Coach mine? Yeah.
But I got to be honest, remember there was a point, was it 2 years ago, where I couldn't even get anybody to mentor. Like it was a point where like all of our original mentors kind of got burnt out, which happens, you know, mentoring's tough. It's an added piece of the puzzle that is tiring. And if you don't have a motivated group of people, it can become daunting. And I think that's when people are typically like, I need to scale back. Give me a break. I'm going to take off for a year. Lindsay's an example. Mm-hmm. Lynn's backed off. She was really focusing on her kids and her time at the salon and didn't really want to take on anything else. I just convinced her to come back, so I'm happy about that. But basically, I think that it is something that, like, you know, there's times in people's lives where they want to take a break or maybe they don't. Alyssa, I'll use as the example, she had babies. She was like, you know, I can't do this right now. I just don't have the time and energy to put into it, which we respect because we don't want somebody in it that's just collecting numbers and throwing them in. And
yeah, you got to be in like the right headspace to be able to coach people.
It matters. It definitely does. And then if they're not, it negatively impacts the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've seen that happen.
Do you feel like you as a mom, like that's helped you? Like that's trickled into being able to coach them, like trying to find ways to like motivate your son. Like, is it the same?
I'm just like, come on. Can we just play by the rules? Like, send me your nut. Don't you care?
Like, I care. Why don't you?
Yes. I care more than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it so much. All right. I have a question for you. How do you keep it all organized? Like, what are you doing behind the scenes that's keeping you like, okay, so I just had this 30-minute meeting with Aubrey. Here's all of the things that we talked about. Like, what's your strategy with just making sure that you have everything organized and you know where you're at with each person? Because how many people do you have right now?
I had 6.
Yeah.
Writing notes. Honestly, I have a little Bible. Yeah.
Is it physical notes? Okay. Yes.
Writing notes.
She's like me.
Yeah. I need to.
Gen Z or X? Gen X.
So my strategy with it is I like to, and I can't say I'm super consistent with this and I should probably do better, but when I'm meeting with somebody, I have my phone in my hand and everything we talk about, I kind of just like, I'm like, okay, I'm listening. I'm just jotting it down. And then I send a text message to that person with like a post-meeting follow-up. And then why I like that is because now they have it, you know, everything we talked about's in your hand. And then in addition, when it comes to the next month and I need to basically brief myself on what we spoke about, I pull up their text message probably about 3 minutes before they walk in my office door. And I'm like looking at it. I'm like, all right, so the goal was this. These were the struggles. These were the challenges. This was the game plan. So I know it. But I think like that's just an easy way for me to organize it. And I just think it's important for the audience to know there's different ways to do it. And no way's right.
Absolutely,
but do you guys have any? Like how you kind of just keep yourself engaged with whatever you have going on in regards to coaching or mentoring.
I do the same thing as Mia. I'm you nerds, but down, I have to write it down. Like at one point I had a whole binder.
You did have a binder.
My binder of all. But like I'm not a digital person. Like I'm just not. I don't know. I retain more when I focus way more when it's
there's studies behind it.
I love a good old fashioned Apple Note.
Well, that's me. I'm old fashioned. Yep. But getting back to Mia, you're one of the most interesting people I've ever met, and you're actually in my top four for my best travel partners. You and Mike. So I want to know. No. You're my top four.
We are.
Yeah, you're in there.
You're dreading going to Vegas with us.
Oh God, my holy roller, non-drinking, like. Yeah, these two reading the goddamn Bible. And I'm probably going to be shamed because I just said goddamn and Bible in the same sentence. So, yeah. But no, I'm looking forward to Vegas. Thank God Dana's coming.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, but my question back to you is how do you find balance? Like, this is one of our big things. We talk about it all the time, being a mom. You're a mom, you're a wife, you're an animal lover, you travel, you have a shore house, you are a successful stylist and mentor. How do you find balance? What do you do besides the comedy you receive from your husband on the daily? Shout out to Mike. Can we all just shout out Mike right now?
We have to talk about Mike, but I have to just give you some love. Heather's just sitting here. She's like, Mia works 2 days a week. She has a shore house. Yeah. She's crushing this much. Like,
she's got two dogs.
Give me some love.
She just got that new SUV.
I would do anything to have two dogs. It. My husband won't let me.
I walked into work when I walked by Mia's
car,
beautiful Lexus that you got, and I like literally walk in and I'm like, whose car is it? Whose is it outside? Whose is it? Like, tell me right now because I'm obsessed. Like, so proud of you.
It really is. But so how do you find balance? Like, what do you do when you're not me in the salon? What's me at home look like?
Probably writing down numbers. I don't know.
Oh, come on. Right,
if Mike has coffee creamer in the fridge.
Oh my God.
I mean,
how does Mike support you with all of this?
I'm like, give me your phone. I got numbers I got to jot down. I need your calculator. Let me text you Felicia's numbers real quick.
He's in a Snuggie.
He's in a Snuggie. Yeah.
Riding a scooter.
Don't talk about the scooter.
Oh, I love him.
So, I mean, my son's 15. He's in school, you know, so my days... I have a lot of time to
Mia showing up to house parties with no bra on, pulling her son out, jotting down numbers on the side while she's driving there.
I love it so much.
Horrible.
No.
So I have the time. I do.
That's good.
It's so good. You just have a natural ability to really like. Number one, you attract people, and you're just one of the most genuine humans I know. And I think about that outside of the mentor program and the salon and just like what I know with your relationships with people. And I just think that's kind of it. Like, we are so lucky to have people like you within the company that really genuinely care about others. It's not, you know, solely focused on you and your success. You really, really light up when you see other people thrive.
Definitely. And
that's been like, I can't imagine you not in this type of role.
Well, thank you.
Like I just, and like I said, some people outgrow it, some people step back, but I feel like it fulfills you in a way that's completely different.
Yeah, it's like they're my babies. I'm watching them grow. No. You know, I don't, I have
but
one.
You really like, do treat yes, them like that. I like do. You mother like, them so well.
Yeah. They listen to me.
Because you are, you're nurturing.
You really are.
It's so funny though that one of your fears that you said when you first joined the team and like why you were scared to join the team was because you were afraid like if it was going to be like a good fit for you. And yeah. You were like scared if like the team was going to embrace you. Well, we were just like talking before you got here, like how much the team did embrace you. And it totally. was like a no-brainer. It was like you were meant to be there the entire time. Yeah, like you were.
Prevay would not be the same without you.
No. Yep. You proved that. And I guess like maybe this was in our head just from where we used to work that like you don't hire stylists, you know, like you grow them, right. You don't hire them. And when we hired you and, you know, you came in and that was a given, like obviously we were going to hire you. But you encouraged me to consider that again, like because of how successful. And when you came in, you didn't not only disrupt the culture, you added to the culture. Mm-hmm. Like you brought a whole new energy and vibe that just like lit up the salon. And I think Heather and I in those moments were like, wow, like we could do this. Like if the right fit applied to this company, we would definitely consider it. And we did it again with Marissa, and Marissa's the same deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Marissa brings such a positive energy and vibe, and I just can't imagine it without her
right. At
this point.
Yeah. I feel like coming in, it was so positive. You know, the energy was right.
Yeah.
You're so black and white, and with things within the salon.
It's like fair across the
board. Yes, everything is black and white. Everything's fair. The culture's there. Everything marries, you know?
Yeah.
So it was easy coming in.
I love that.
Totally.
Good. Well, I love it. Well, it was really, really nice having you today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else we want to add?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. You killed it.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Love it.
Don't forget to like and subscribe.